Hello and welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Digital.
I'm Mender's Logic.
I'm Flopsy, and this is the podcast by PC Gamers for PC Gamers.
All right, let's get this going.
Yeah, let's do this.
Okay, so first of all, we want to thank everybody that commented and rated on iTunes. Really helped. We're up there now. If you type in PC Gaming or PC Gamer, we actually show up, which is pretty cool.
All right, eighth or something?
Yeah, I don't know what the number is, but we're up there.
My goal is not to be number one. It's to surpass Tavern Cast, whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah. They got drinking in theirs, though, so they're way cooler.
Than we don't have drinking in ours?
We did last week.
Yeah.
Hey, fellas! I was fucking drunk. I did the last one drunk, and I'm doing this one sober. Let me know which one you prefer. Because yeah. I always feel embarrassed when I listen back. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
I prefer the drunk.
Wow. Yeah, well, we can fix a lot in editing anyway, so.
There was some editing.
So, yeah, that's awesome that you guys have been doing that. Again, if you want us to discuss anything, post it in our Steam group, or you can email us, too. We'll definitely get to that. And continue to comment and rate on iTunes. You know, we really try to promote ourselves. And none of us are really good at that shameless promotion. You know, we don't want to come off as douchey spammers. We're not trying to make a buck off this. We're trying to keep it authentic, so... One way that will definitely help us get out there is by getting us noticed on iTunes.
For sure. And just the little bit that we got, I don't know how many it was, maybe 8 ratings or whatever, that bumped us up from the last page to almost the top of the second page, so almost the first page. That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
So a little bit, you know, if 8 did that, 8 more will probably get us on the first page for sure. So that'd be awesome.
That would be cool. And the weekly giveaways continue. They are being posted on Friday. And just check out our Steam group. Join our Steam group, DL Gaming, and check out the announcements section. Bunch of free games. Got a few decent ones in there.
I'm sure it's getting diluted at this point.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of not-so-great games. There's a lot of games you've never heard of. But hey, there's still free games. But there are some good ones in there. I'm continuing to find more and more sites that offer these bundles, and I'm just buying them up left and right. I think I'm at like 1,315 games.
Wow.
Nice. I mean, come on, most of those are not even worth playing. Yeah. But that's a lot of games.
So Pete last night was like, man, that guy plays a lot of games. I was like, well, he has over 1,200 of them. And he's like, what?
Yeah. No, I got a lot, and I actually do play a lot of them, and maybe not for very long, but I do check out almost everything I download. But yeah, that's cool. I want to mention a website, too, that I found. I found this a little while ago. It is pretty helpful. A lot of times when I'm playing a game, I wonder how much more of this game do I have left, and maybe I'll look up the walkthrough. And I'll see, I'm on mission 8 out of 16. I'm halfway through the game. But I found this site called howlongtobeat.com. And you basically just type in the name of the game, and it'll tell you how long it takes you to beat the game. Not only how long it takes, but how long it takes for the main story. If you're a completionist and you want to get all the extras, how long that will take. And how long the average is. And it has this listed for PC, Xbox, all platforms.
That's cool.
Wow, that would be cool.
Yeah. And then also, if you're somebody who's trying to get bang for your buck, you could look something up beforehand. Yeah. Before you purchase, make sure you get enough game out of it.
Yeah, definitely. Like, if you want to know what you're getting into, if you're checking out a game and you want to know how much, you know, how much gameplay is actually here, then this would be a great site to check, howlongtobeat.com. So this is something I wanted to mention. Pretty cool site. They got a website for everything these days. It's great.
Seriously.
Bobby's pretty good at this internet thing.
Yeah. Yeah. He's higher level than I am at interneting.
Yeah.
Know how to internet real good. But so we had some big releases. I don't even know if I should call them releases because it's early access.
But
they are the top sellers on Steam.
Yeah, that is pretty huge if you think about it.
And we are talking, of course, about The Stomping Land and The Forest. I swear everybody on my friends list was buying The Forest.
I heard it was single player only. Did you want to talk about The Forest first? Or?
Let's get into Stomping Land first, actually.
Okay, yeah. So I picked that up this week. Put in maybe 5 or 6 hours on it so far. There is a lot of potential there. It's still very early alpha. It just came out last week or this week. So it's basically a crafting survival game a la Minecraft or Rust or any of the other ones. Actually, there's a lot of similarities to Rust right now. The graphics are looking pretty nice already. Amelia was
Yeah, I just checked it out tonight. I was over your shoulder, and I was really impressed. Really impressed.
Yeah.
For something in early alpha, it looks great. And the animations, like you said, look very fluid.
Yeah.
Except for stabbing.
Yeah, well.
Things just kind of fall over right now.
The combat is a little wonky right now in the animations. But, yeah, it looks nice. It's got weather. It's got day-night cycles. It's got weather. It rains a lot. And when it rains, it's got this mist that comes up, like this fog sort of thing. So your line of sight is diminished. It's got great foliage. And when you get through, like, the dense jungle, it's like you can barely see. And then you get out to the beach, and it's kind of more open. So it looks really nice. It looks pretty.
Can you climb trees?
No.
Okay.
I haven't been able to. It's got this kind of cool mechanic. Right now, the trees and the rocks have unlimited
resources
in them. So you can just sit at the same tree and just mine it all day. But So what happens is you hit the tree four times, and then you're holding the log. And you can't do anything until you drop the log. So you drop the log and you hit the tree some more, and now you're holding another log, and you drop it on top of the first log, and now you've got a crate in front of you. It looks kind of like a crate thing. So you can keep doing that and keep building up until you can max out at 20 resources in this kind of like crate thing. And then what you can do is you can click on that crate, and you get a couple options. That's where you can select where to craft stuff from, is from this like box that
you... What you want to do with this box.
Exactly. But the other option is pull. So if you select pull, you're now tethered to it with a rope. And when you move, the box moves with you. So
that's awesome.
There's no backpack in this game, which I thought was a really cool idea. There wouldn't be a backpack in this tribal... Oh, just...
Does it make noise, though, when it pulls behind you?
Yes, it does. And you can't run while you're dragging it.
Oh, I see.
So, I guess before I start this off, maybe I should explain what this game is for anybody that doesn't know what this game is. It's an early access game, $24.99 on Steam right now. It is basically it's a crafting survival game, but you're on an island and it's inhabited by dinosaurs, and you are this tribal man that's trying to survive in this land full of dinosaurs. And these dinosaurs will kick your fucking ass. Like, they've got the little chicken kind of ones, which are like human size, but they're basically chickens, right? So they just basically run away from you. But the next biggest dinosaur is the one with the
crown.
Crown, right? That he's on 2 feet, but he's got the crown on his head.
Headbutter.
And he just charges you and will fuck you up. He hits you once, you go flying out. He hits you again and you're dead. So it's it's a dangerous place to live in. And once you get... Because you spawn randomly on the beach, similar to DayZ.
Right.
So is this multiplayer at this point?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
But they also have single player mode, which I played mostly.
Did you go online at all?
Like 10 minutes. I just wanted to check it out.
Were you able to communicate with anybody? I'm just wondering if it's like DayZ where you could just talk freely.
I'm trying to remember. I don't remember, honestly.
Okay. And so 6 hours. By then, I would think that you have some sort of shelter.
So right now, the crafting is very limited.
Okay.
You can make weapons. You can make a fire pit. You can make a totem, which basically makes your tribe. If you craft the totem, then you're part of a tribe.
Uh-huh.
And there's some interaction, I think, to join a tribe with the totem. And a teepee. And that's basically it. That's all you can make right now.
Okay.
So the weapons you can make are spears. You can make a shield. You can make a bow and arrow. And you can make bolas. And those are basically what you have to work with.
Can you carry all of them at once, or is it very realistic? Like,
no, you can carry multiple. It's one, okay. 2, 3, that style.
Okay.
So your axe.
It's not very realistic, I don't think.
Yeah, true.
But it seemed like they were going with hyper realism with that little box that you pull. So that's why I only asked.
And maybe, you know, it's still early alpha, so they're probably
tweaking and listening to the community.
I did think was cool was they've got actually a star system on the above the island, because there's no map in game, there's no compass, you can't devise a map. So they've said they've created a star system up above, and people that get used to the game will learn where they are based on the star system.
That's so awesome.
But you can only see it at night. During the day, it's not really visible. So during the day, you're exploring, just out exploring, and then at night, you know how to get back to your teepee based on where you are from the stars.
To all of you out there in audio land, I want you to know that Chad's looking up every time he says the word stars.
Yes, that's true.
And reaching into the sky.
And the other thing that is interesting, they have these herbs. But to get these herbs, you got to go in these caves. And there's only a couple caves on the island. So you got to go out and find these caves. And I imagine in multiplayer, they're going to be camped heavily.
Right.
You go into these caves to pick these herbs. And what you can do with these herbs is ride dinosaurs with it. So the mechanic right now is you kill a dinosaur. You can either farm it for meat to stay alive. Or if you have enough expertise, you can feed it the herb and it will rise back up and be your mount now. But the thing is, your mount level, your expertise level determines the strongest dinosaur you can ride. So you have to kill things and craft things to raise your expertise, and that raised level will allow you to ride bigger and bigger dinosaurs.
So it loves you because you healed it, but you're the one who fucked it up in the first place.
Yeah, basically.
Dinosaurs love the abuse.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if that's going to be the final mechanic, but that's how it's working right now in Alpha. Every time I got close to enough expertise to ride an animal, I got my ass kicked. So I haven't yet ridden a dinosaur, but that's how you
do it. I wonder
if
there's going to be mounted combat, you would imagine.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
The dinosaurs have individual attacks depending on the dinosaurs. Like the guy, the headbutter, headbutts, right. Obviously. And then they've got Ankylosaurus, which is the guy with the spiked ball tail. He does a tail whip sort of thing. The one thing that I thought was interesting is, as of right now, they don't have any dinosaurs that people really know. Like Ankylosaurus, maybe you've heard of, but
it's the one with the big.
They don't have like the spitters. They don't have T-Rex. They don't have Stegosaurus right now. They don't have Triceratops.
That is odd.
And I don't know if they just haven't built those yet, or if they're trying to stay real and stay to one.
Area.
Yeah, one. Yeah. What do you call it? Paleozoic era or whatever.
Oh yeah.
So I don't know what the plan is, but I would really like to see T-Rex in there.
I'm sure he's in there.
You know, fuck.
I think they actually
up.
Mentioned him.
Yeah. So I'm excited about this. I think they've got a good foundation. I think if they build on it, I'm hoping that with the money they're earning from this early access, they're going to turn around and put invested in the game
and not go on vacation like I always think they do.
Yeah, and so I'm looking forward to how this thing progresses. I'll continue to play it off and on, see how it progresses, and I can't wait to see a more finished product.
Awesome. Yeah, the early access, I've kind of changed my opinion on it. I used to get annoyed at these games that were early access, and it seemed like they were that way for so long, and it seemed like the real version was never coming out, and they were charging money for it, but I think I understand it a little bit better. You know, these people, this is a valuable resource to have people playing your game and giving you input. It's almost like having beta testers.
Yeah.
And when you charge people for the game, it puts up that paywall. So you know you're getting people who are genuinely interested in the game and making it better, and not just a bunch of randos who are going to just mess up the forums with useless garbage. Yeah, the early access thing I think is valuable, and you got to know what you're getting into when you buy early access. Both of these games, Stomping Land and The Forest, are in the very early stages of this.
But I don't think one early access game has had its official release ever that I can think of that I've purchased.
Yeah, Smite. I feel like Smite was
that was a beta. Was it different. An early access thing that I paid for?
Like a greenlit game, like finally going. Yeah. Like that was early access, finally coming to a. Yeah, you know, there was that one about, it looked like an RTS on planets. You know which one I'm talking about? Planetary Annihilation.
Yeah.
Went from, what was it, alpha to beta to gamma, and it's like it's right there, you know, about to be released. But still, I feel like we've been waiting almost 2 years for that game.
Yeah, for sure.
It's crazy, but I feel like these games couldn't exist otherwise. You know, these games are being made, like The Forest, which I'm going to be talking about real soon here, is made by a four-man team.
Yeah.
Four guys making one game. This couldn't exist if it wasn't for the early access model or the Kickstarter model.
Right. Especially something that looks that good. Yeah. Like Binding of Isaac, that was, I think, two guys, but that was a lot. You can tell by the quality I want to say quality. I would say the low production value, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's a great game, but yeah. Anyway, back visually. To the forest.
Yeah, well, first of all, are you guys planning to buy the Stomping Land at some point?
The Stomping Land? Probably.
Yeah, I would like to. It's probably top of my to-buy list, I would say.
Okay. Yeah. I would say right now, I mean, you're going to play it a couple hours and kind of get the enjoyment, and then, you know, without the crafting in there, you know, without some of these other dinosaurs, it's probably going to tail off pretty quickly for you guys. So
yeah.
I would say, you know, wait a couple months maybe and see how it's progressing.
Man,
really interested in playing it.
I would love to see the devs all high-fiving when they saw the first paycheck come in, or they probably still haven't seen it come in, but you know, to be a indie developer and then rise to the top of Steam charts, that's you know, you hit the lottery.
Yeah.
You're doing really, really well.
Yeah, this was on the top sellers. This and The Forest are selling very well.
It's all
right
about
now.
Staying focused.
Oh, I give this game a DL.
It's official.
All right, now we can talk about The Forest.
Well, I have similar advice for The Forest, because people had asked me, they saw me playing it, and they had asked, you know, is this something I should get? Looked interesting. I was thinking about picking it up. And my answer to that is not yet. The Forest is in very early access. It's literally 0.01B, I think, is the official version of it right now. Mm. It is really early access, and it shows. This game has huge potential. There were some things I liked about it, and a lot of the things I didn't like about it were because it was so rudimentary. Mm. And those things will improve over time as patches get released. And usually games in this early of a stage, they get frequent patches. So I imagine this will come up to speed soon enough. But it's another open-world survival horror game running on the Unity 4 engine. I guess this is a newer version of the Unity engine. So it looks good.
I saw trailers where there was like a plane crash. Is that the premise of it? You survive a plane crash and now you're in the forest all by yourself trying to survive? Is that...
Yeah, exactly. You start out the game in a plane. You experience the crash, then you wake up in the crashed plane.
Like Lost style, huh?
Yeah, pretty much like Lost. Very similar.
But not an island. You don't land in an island.
Oh, it is an island. Yeah, it's an island.
But you land in the thick of the forest? Or do you land on the coast?
Everywhere on the... It seemed like a small island because I was never really that far from the coast.
Hmm.
Yeah. But I was looking at an article and it really summed it up for me. It said 2013 was the year of the roguelike and 2014 is the year of the open world crafting survival game. Because I feel like we've seen so many of these.
Yep.
And
I feel like it's been the year of the... crafting survival game.
But
for like
it's not calendar
years.
Year, I think. It's probably like just 12 year or 12 month.
Well, 2014.
What was the previous one?
2013 was the year of the roguelike.
Oh.
Which those were pretty popular.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe MOBAs. I thought it was MOBAs into roguelike. Maybe it's MOBAs into roguelike. 2012 was MOBAs. 2013
Either
roguelikes.
Way, I seriously feel like these open world crafting survival games are just taking over. It's crazy. One thing I am absolutely sick of is chopping down trees in games. Like, we got to put a stop to this. It's getting goddamn ridiculous here. Like, I'm so sick of running up to a tree and just clicking my mouse half a dozen times. And like, can we do something about this? There's got to be some other mechanic.
Chainsaws.
Starbound, where you just use the laser cutter or whatever. What is that weapon?
Matter manipulator.
Manipulator.
Yeah. Well, we need to do something because I'm so tired of that. But the things I did like about The Forest, the computer AI, I was impressed with. You can build these things called effigies, which are basically a bunch of human body parts that you put on a stick and you light them on fire. And it causes the local tribesmen on the island, who are very hostile towards you, it causes them to back up.
Are they spooky looking?
Yeah, they're spooky and they're naked like Ken dolls. Like, it's all smooth down there.
you're looking pretty close, I guess.
It's really weird.
Yeah, they were advertising this like a horror.
Yes.
Are you getting that sort of sense from it?
It's definitely got a horror vibe to it.
Okay.
Were you scared?
Not really, but I could see where this could be scary. But the computer AI, I noticed it when I made one of these effigies and I lit it on fire, and the natives on the island backed up, but they were kind of testing the boundaries. They would come in, they would kind of get brave and they'd come in a little bit. And every now and then one would get really brave and leap at me. They would run up trees. They were always, they wouldn't directly engage me if that effigy was up. But when it came down, then they would start circling me.
What, like ran out of fuel?
Yeah, eventually the effigies stopped burning and you have to relight them.
And you made quite a jump here. So you landed at, you know, if I was in a plane crash, the first thing I wouldn't do is starting to make effigies. Like,
yeah, no, you build a shelter.
How'd you know to do this?
You have a survival book that you can look all this stuff
up.
Oh,
I see.
But the first thing you do is build a shelter and then you build a fire.
Do you have to hunt for food and everything like that?
Yeah, you can pick berries or you can hunt for food. And that took me a little while. The rabbits can be hard to catch. The berries, it can be a while till you find the right ones to eat. You can get lucky and stumble upon some. The forest looks great, though. Like, they did a really good job of making the forest look different in certain areas. Like, you'll go into one area, it'll be a big meadow. Very unlike Rust, where everything just looked the same.
Yeah.
Although I haven't played Rust in months, so it could have changed. What else did I like about it? There wasn't any map. It seemed, I don't know if it was intentional, but it seemed like they were making things difficult, which I imagine they would be if you were stuck on an island. Yeah. There was no pausing. Even when you like went into your inventory, you couldn't switch weapons. So if you were being attacked, you would have to open your inventory, select the weapon, equip it, and then come back all in real time. No pausing.
That's how it is in Project Zomboid.
What sort of weapons were you using?
A hatchet, an axe, no
and
range.
And were you crafting them?
I was able to craft, you take a stick and a rock, you put it together, you make a rudimentary axe. I was able to craft that, but there's really not a whole lot that you can make at this point. They do have plans to put in a bow and arrow, I believe. They've talked about it.
Okay.
But yeah, so those were some of the things that I liked. Some of the things I didn't like, there's really no clear objective. I noticed as I was going around the island, there's a part where you get stuck in a cave and there's a ton of dead bodies in there, which are the passengers from the plane. And as I looked at them, it would say one out of 130 passengers found, two out of 130 passengers found. So I don't know if you find all the passengers on the island, if that completes the game or, I don't know, it gives you something.
So is this single player?
At this point, it is single player. And there is plans in the future to, there's a lot of plans that they've laid out. One of them is a multiplayer mode, and they use the word co-op. And I thought this was important because they actually said the devs want to stay away from a mass multiplayer feel of DayZ or Rust. So when they said co-op, I picture three or four buddies working together on this island. I don't picture a bunch of people running around fighting each other.
I feel like it's going to be kind of like the objective is just surviving as long as you can.
And, yeah.
Or
yeah.
Maybe get rescued. Maybe like there's a point where you can get rescued.
When you die, it says 17 days survived, kind of like Project Zomboid. Yeah. So yeah, I think it's about surviving as long as you can, but there's really no clear objective at this point. And I don't know if there ever will be. A lot of these survival games don't have that.
Yeah. So I'm fine with Zomboid not having one, personally. The goal is just to see how long you can survive, which is fine. This is the way you die. Famously, that's the way it starts.
I would like to see some sort of objective or something to do, because after I played this for about 5 hours, and I felt like I had exhausted all my options after that. Like, it's not a game I'm going to be going back to for quite a while.
Well, does the difficulty not ramp up? Is there not more and more natives?
No, if they find you, first of all, if they see you, it gives you this little audio cue, like from a horror movie. Yeah. It's kind of like from Halloween. It's like, like this little creepy noise. So you know you've been spotted. They make this loud screeching sound when they're calling their buddies. So that's when you know you're fucked.
Yeah.
And it seems once they find you, they really don't leave you alone. They patrol the island, it appears. Like they kept coming
around
the
same. How
do you get away? You have to run and hide, or you can try and fight them off.
So you can't shake them.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Eventually. But it takes, at this point when I had one of my axes, it took like 12 or 13 hits to finally kill one. Like, it takes a while. So if there's a number of them, it can be really difficult.
Are you a guy or a girl? You don't know.
You're a guy. They do have plans in the future to make a female protagonist, but I don't know if that's solid yet, but that was on their FAQ.
These guys sound creepy.
Yeah, well,
these
some
islanders.
They are. They're really weird looking.
The
there are female
with
ones.
No genitalia.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is a creepy game. The audio kind of adds to it. The audio is pretty messed up right now. Like, some sounds are way louder than others. And when you chop down a tree, there's this loud sound like you've reloaded a gun. It's like a clicking sound. It doesn't fit. But yeah, there's things like that will get fixed in patches. The collision detection is horrible, so it makes chopping down these trees even more annoying. The islanders can, like, run through walls, apparently, when they leap at you. Like, this.
You don't sound bitter. You don't sound like you got killed once.
Because some zombie used wall hacks on me.
How much is this?
$14.99.
Okay.
And for $14.99, I really can't recommend it at this point. This is something to wait on. After, like you said about the Stomping Land, after a couple of months, this game's going to look a lot better. I think the biggest milestone for this game is going to be the co-op mode. This is something that's going to be way funner playing with your friends. On single player mode, I don't see anyone playing this for more than 6 hours without getting burned out.
Sounds good.
Yeah, that's cool.
So that's what you guys have been playing. I have been playing a lot of Wolfenstein. And I'm going to have to say right now, it's my game of the year so far. I'm really? Fucking...
Are you trying to steal my thunder here?
No.
You see my notes?
Well, it's pretty much the only thing I've been playing this week.
Well, at least we're on the same note here.
So go ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead. I want to hear what you have
Jerk.
To say about it.
You've been talking for half an hour. So there's a lot of comparisons
How far are you, by the way?
6 hours in, maybe.
Okay.
There's a lot of comparisons. As I was playing, I was like, man, this feels a lot like Half-Life 2. So think about, it has everything that all the good parts of all its predecessors as far as first-person shooters, and like none of the bad stuff. It plays really well. It's gorgeous. The music isn't really music. It's more like atmospheric toning. Like, it gives you a feeling.
Like movie style, where you
hear exactly. Them. And I mean, some people could call it music, but it's more just to get you emotionally into the scene, and it works. Like, there is an underlying sense of tension almost the entire time you're playing, especially in the quiet parts. And it's not just the usage of the this music, we'll call it. It's the not using it too. It's like, creepy shit, no music, dog bite. Ah, fuck. Like, what the fuck? And then back to like creepy music, and then intense music, and then boss fight. It's just the pacing of the music with what's going on is perfect. And the use of no music, they did that perfectly as well. There's a lot more, it's a lot more serious than I had thought that it was. It's a very tense game. There's a few jokes here and there, but nothing, you know, it's not campy at all. And I thought it was going to hurt it. And another thing, there's a sex scene in this thing.
It wasn't now I got to play it.
And it wasn't overdone. And it was actually kind of sexy. It's probably the first sex scene that wasn't overplayed. It was played just well. I mean, you were glad that he was getting laid. And it seemed like he was really, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like, oh, let's show some tits.
It was like a movie sex scene
a good one.
Instead of like a video game sex scene.
Yes, exactly.
Well, instead of Kratos banging four hookers.
Spoiler alert, there are two sex scenes in that game.
Before you jump in, I was watching you play for about 2 minutes, and the AI looked like complete shit. Is the AI decent in this game? You were knifing a dude, and the other guy is basically watching you knife the dude to take his turn to get knifed, and the dog was sitting there, not even attacking you, waiting for his turn to get knifed after the dude gets knifed.
Like, I think some of that has to do with the difficulty setting, because I found this game generally easy on the normal mode.
I put it on hard. I'm playing on hard, and it's still kind of easy.
Yeah. It does ramp up, though, because when I first played this, when I played the first part of this game, I felt the same way. When I got closer towards the end, the boss fights, and also just the normal random bad guys seemed to be a little more difficult to kill.
No, for sure. I'm running into those shielded guys now. Those guys are pretty tough.
Yeah, and the AI, I noticed a few times, there were instances, like you mentioned, where it seemed like a kung fu movie where everyone was just lining up and, you know, fighting one-on-one.
It's the melee part. The melee part of the game is probably, you know, where it loses. The shooting part, the shooting AI is pretty good, actually.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, there was one part where I hid somewhere and I was low on health, so I figured, all right, I'm going to hide in this spot. I'm going to peek out and just shoot at these guys a little bit, go back undercover. And it was a good, safe spot. I did that for a little while, and then they started throwing grenades in me to flush me out, and then I had to run and find cover somewhere else. So I was impressed with that. There was another game that did that really well, and I can't remember what it was, but I like to see that with AI, when they respond to
tactics.
You using like cheesy tactics, like finding a way to kind of break the game. And
so your health doesn't regenerate then?
It does unless you get to below a certain point.
Yeah, it's they go in like chunks of 20. So if it does, they don't do like 20 points of damage to you, you'll get those 20 back. But if you took 21 points of damage, then you'll take that 20 points. Okay. It's like little thresholds.
Yeah. So you're either well or injured or critical, you know, basically that sort of thing.
Yeah, something like that. But you can add segments on too. And I didn't even know that the first one had like a health up thing. And I was like, fuck. So I kind of want to go back and get it, because I know the boss fights, I'm going to need as much health as I can.
Yeah, it helps. Yeah, the way the health system works, you have armor and health. And as long as you don't take too much damage on your health, you can regenerate it. I like the shooting in the game too. I noticed that if you shoot an enemy, say in the shoulder, they kind of respond to that area of being shot, or the leg. Or it seemed to be fairly good at that, and I think that's mainly due to the engine. Maybe not as well as some other games that I've seen. Half-Life 2 kind of overdid it with the ragdoll effect. Like, you'd shoot someone and they just go flying with their limbs everywhere.
Ah, good old ragdoll.
Yeah. And I also liked how in the game the Germans speak German to each other for the most part. I hate when I watch a movie and it's like, why would two German people be talking to each other in English with German accents? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But for the most part, they didn't make that mistake. But the pace was good. I completed the game, I should mention. I finished it a few days ago.
Was it satisfactory, the ending? Did it feel like, I'm happy that I got through this game because it got to some conclusion?
Yeah. The ending was good. I was impressed by the ending. I thought about this, and I'm not going to talk too much about it because I don't want to spoil it, but they kind of set it up for a sequel. I can definitely see a sequel happening, and I could see what direction it might go in, and it's a really cool idea if they choose to go in that direction.
And I can't wait until you buy it so I can play it. Like, all the time, every time I'm playing one of Bobby's games, I feel like I'm getting away with something. And then I was really hoping that I didn't surpass him in the game, because then I'd really feel shitty.
No, I think it's great that you're using my game library with Steam sharing, because now I can recommend these games to you and you don't have the financial excuse.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can't say, well, I can't afford it.
And the and we have opposite schedules, so like,
yeah, so it works. Anyway. Although with summer coming up and all that time I'll have off, we'll see. But I'm sure
you might have to buy a game or two.
Yeah.
So you guys both think it's one of the top games this year, right?
I think it's the top game this year.
For me, it's so far this is the best game I've played all year. But then again, I like linear first person.
But you were
shooters.
Talking about how much you hated this achievement.
The perk system I don't care for at all. But that is not enough to bring this game down. It is definitely my favorite game of the year so far, and I don't see any other game topping it. I know it sounds like I'm giving it a lot of praise, but I really enjoyed this game. I will play this game again. I don't know.
But you're a Wolfenstein fanboy.
I'm a fan of Wolfenstein. I'm a fan of this genre. Yeah, so I'm biased, obviously.
I don't think it's quite as good as Infinite. I would say the action sequences, the shooting itself is better in Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
The story was better
what are you comparing it to?
Infinite.
BioShock Infinite.
Oh, BioShock Infinite. I was thinking Infinite Crisis for some reason, and that wasn't making any sense.
You know, I just got to the part where all these NPCs were introduced, and they seem to be all very, like, they all got their own thing going on, and they're not, like, all friendly. Oh, by the way, I died to the first mob in the fucking dream sequence that you beat the whole thing. I died to the first guy.
Well,
yeah, I turned the corner. I was shooting him, and then the other one was shooting me in the back.
Okay.
And I don't know. I was like, got all the secrets? Yeah. Because you don't get to try again. You wouldn't know because you beat it in the first shot.
Jerk. Dang. Yeah, you know, I felt like the NPCs, the other characters in the story, were fairly well fleshed out. They had a good amount of depth. I read a review where they criticized that the other characters didn't have a whole lot of depth to them.
What? Wow.
Yeah, and I didn't feel that at all. No. I felt each one of them,
maybe a little too special. Like, they were all little, like,
Yeah, and especially in some upcoming scenes that you'll run into, like things happen to them, and I did feel connected to them. So I felt like that was good. And what I really liked about this is the game stays focused on the main character's story. It's not about him versus this giant Nazi empire. It kind of is, but it's mostly about him avenging the death of his friend and going after this guy, Death's Head. And it stays focused
Death's
on
Death's Head. The guy's name is Death's Head.
Death's Head, yeah.
DJ Blastowitz versus Death's Head.
Yep. That's okay. That's the main dude you're going after.
Who'd you pick to die? It's early on in the game, so.
Yeah, I picked Fergus to live. The guy with the older guy?
Yeah, me
you
too.
You always pick the female to live.
No, it was two guys.
Two dudes.
But he seemed useless. That's why I got rid
of him. New guy?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
I didn't even hesitate.
Yeah. Well, at first I tried to not pick anyone, and then they killed me. So then it's like, all right, well, I guess I have to pick someone.
Yeah.
But he's so much of the support class person that he'd rather himself die than either the new guy or the other dude.
Well, the guy was trying to make you pick, and I was like, well, I wonder if this is an option. You know, you always got to test that out. But at the end of the day, when this game is done with, the Nazis are still in control. This game takes place in an alternate reality where the Nazis won
World
War II.
Spoilers?
No, not at all.
It's in the commercial.
Yeah. Oh. The Nazis take over the world. They still rule the world. By the end of the day, you know, obviously, you're going to kill the bad guy. Like, that's the game. You're going to finally kill the bad guy at the end. But so what? You've killed this bad guy. You've avenged your friend's death. You put a dent in him, maybe. But the Nazis still rule the world. Like, that's... I think that's interesting. It reminds me a lot of one of my favorite movies, RoboCop.
Wow.
Yeah.
The new version?
The old version. The original version. Because at the end of the day, RoboCop... Same thing.
Interesting story. The RoboCop story is actually Judge Dredd that they basically reskinned into RoboCop. That was originally going to be a Judge Dredd movie.
Wow.
So let me try an analogy Spoilers. That actually works. I was kind of feeling that this is to the first person genre what the Christopher Nolan's first Batman was. Like, it's a darker, grittier version of like BioShock Infinite or something like that. Or Half-Life 2, you know, it just seems more realistic, grimy. I like it a lot, man. I really, really enjoy
it. The game works. It definitely works.
There's no real replay value in this, right? You're going to play your 8 to 10 hours of the playthrough, and then that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah, it took me a little under 14 hours, but I'll replay this game again just because I had that much fun.
Did you unlock like a super hard mode or anything?
No, but
like
I will play it on a harder difficulty, and I'll probably choose the other guy to live.
And just see how it works out.
Yeah, because if you look at your saves, you'll notice that it branches. You can either choose the Wyatt path or the Fergus path. And, of course, I've got all the Fergus path unlocked, but maybe I'll do the Wyatt path next time.
Now, as far as the perk system, after what you had said and stuff, I took that into account. I was just like, I'm just going to play the game like I play the game. You know, it's trying to adapt itself to your play style. And I'm a very, like, one shot at a time sniper headshot kind of guy. So there's a branch for that. So I just did that branch, and, you know, it's rewarding me with stuff for that branch. And it's not giving me stuff for, like, explosives and stuff, but I don't really use those anyway. So, you know, I'm not really bothered too much about it. If I happen to get something, then it's cool. And then what was the other one? I'm getting stealth ones because they're stealth missions. I mean, you could run and gun them. But I'm actually I'm not a stealth guy at all, but I'm having fun with the stealth ones too. Yeah.
Well, they do a good mix of doing slow stealth missions and then doing the run and gun, shoot 'em up missions. They go back and forth. And something like that really helps the game, especially one like this. It took me about 14 hours. That's a long time. That can get really repetitive. So when you mix it up with the gameplay, then it keeps you interested.
This game made me jump once.
Oh, shit. When the dog was it one of the big dogs?
One of the big not the big dogs, actually.
Those
one of the
dogs.
Small dogs.
Yeah. Video
Robo
games.
Dogs.
Yeah. Making you jump since Resident Evil.
Resident Evil.
Well, one thing I should also mention that will probably sell everybody on this game is you go to the moon and you shoot Nazis in space.
Sweet.
You go to the moon in a spacesuit, and it's like gravity. All you can hear is yourself breathing. They do
that's awesome.
You mean like Dead Space? Doesn't Dead Space do that? Remember when they go...
When you're going between stations.
Yeah, and you can't hear anything. Like, even the gunshots.
I really like that.
Yeah, and the gravity's lower, so you can make these large moon jumps. But, yeah, you go to a space station...
Can't wait till you're done, so I can play it on Bobby's account.
Get ready to download it for like fucking 7 hours.
Yeah. God, it was a lot of fun, and it's definitely one I'll be playing again. I cannot recommend this game enough.
Welcome to the Wolfenstein podcast.
Yeah, we'll get off it in a minute here, and that'll probably be, since I beat it, that's like all I've got to say about it.
But I'm just saying the praise that we're giving it, that's why we switch it over to the
Wolfenstein podcast. Well, this got an 82 on Metacritic, which I can understand. Like, 82, I feel like so many games are getting like these low 80 scores, and it feels like such a safe bet for mm-hmm. critics. It's like, I don't want to be criticized for overpraising this, and I don't want to be criticized for underpraising it. I'll give it an 82.
Well, I mean, it's the, you know, people are giving it 60s and some of them are getting it 90s, and that's how we're getting
it. It's averaging 80. Out yeah, to yeah. 80s.
But there are 80s in there as well. So, ready for the next one?
Yeah, so the other game that... So, I've been watching Amelia play Binding of Isaac, and so I've been waiting for the 99-cent sale for Binding of Isaac, and it wasn't coming up, and I got impatient. So, I bought the Binding of Isaac and the DLC, so I almost spent $10 on the Binding of Isaac, and I'm...
Obsessed?
Completely happy with the fact that I did. I dislike the fact that I like this game because
it's exactly looks, what you said last week already so far.
It looks so, like, I don't know. Like, the graphics aren't there, but it's got that kind of cool art style that I like. But anyways, I ended up beating it. I beat Mom. I beat the Heart. There's a bunch of challenges that I'm working on, but if you haven't picked up Binding of Isaac, pick it up. You're going to be like, what the heck is this game? And then you're going to start playing it and have a lot of fun. So if you got a couple bucks to spend, pick up the Binding of Isaac and you will spend 20 hours with your $3 on it.
It's awesome. Yeah.
And it's always on sale. You can find this game.
No, it's not, because I couldn't find it anywhere.
You waited 6 days.
I waited 2 hours, but anyways, I couldn't find it in those 2 hours.
This game, I don't know if I've ever seen this as part of a bundle. It may or may not show up on a giveaway at some point. Yeah, this is one, if you see it on sale, and when it is on sale on Steam, it's 99 cents. It's a must buy.
Yeah. So anyways, the other, I was in a dino mood this week, so apparently. I got the Stomping Land, and there was a special free weekend for Orion Dino Horde. This game got a 36 Metacritic score.
That's why it's free.
But what happened is the developers have stuck with this game. They completely remastered it, redeveloped it. And so, yes, it has a 36, but it doesn't play like a 36. And I'm not saying it plays like an 80 either.
Right.
But I was playing it with a podcast listener, Tyler. So shout out, Tyler. And we were having some fun. The basic premise, it's a co-op game. The basic premise is there's dinosaurs on this island, and you're futuristic space marines. And so it's a co-op game where basically you've got to do certain missions. So you start off, you start your generator up. Your generator starts spawning dinosaurs to attack the generator. So you go, you start the generator, but the generator allows you to go to your weapons station and buy weapons. So you run to your... After you start the generator, you run back to your base, you buy your weapons, but you only have a minute before the dinosaurs spawn.
Where's the currency come from?
You start with a set amount of credits, or it's however the server is set up. You can set your credits. So you buy your weapon, and then you go, and these velociraptors and the little guys and the spitters, they all come at you. You're killing them. You got like vibra blades and stuff like that. So it's like the high tech and the dinosaurs. Mm. It's like a 5-year-old's fantasy, right?
Yeah.
like you know. So you do a couple waves of these things, and there's different classes. You can be an assault class, which has a jetpack that you can use. You can be a medic or support, which has a medic gun, and you can be a rogue class that has stealth options. It's pretty rudimentary on like the classes and the weapons and all, but it was a lot of fun. Like shooting dinosaurs with these high tech assault.
I walked into his room and I said, "Why are you yelling, dude?" He's like, "It's fun."
Yeah.
I said, "Okay."
So, but after a couple of waves, you finish that first part, and then the next part is you have to go and capture this outpost. But as you're going, they have like big named monsters like or dinosaurs like a Stegosaurus or a Triceratops. So when you're going, you can jump in vehicles, and so now you're doing vehicle combat against these giant dinosaurs, these Stegosaurus, And so, and then there's other dinosaurs that go and pick you up. The graphics aren't amazing, but they're not terrible either. The gameplay isn't amazing, but it's not terrible either. It's like one of those games that fits in the middle of the range, but at the same time, it's just mindless fun. You know, it's kind of like Ice World was in Counter-Strike back in the day. Like,
how much is it normally? And is it worth it?
It was on sale. It's a regular price, $13.99. It was on sale for 99 cents, and then it had a free weekend.
Yeah.
And so it's one of these games where the Metacritic was so bad, I'm sure the sales hurt itself so bad that now they're just trying to get anybody to play it.
Yeah.
So
that's a good move by them. Make it better, make it free for a weekend.
Well, the first time they did this promotion, free weekend and 99 cents for the game, I bought it, played it a little bit, and yeah, it wasn't that bad. It feels like a game that came out maybe 10 years ago. It almost feels a little bit like Halo. It's got that kind of map to it.
Yes, it does.
And it's really not that bad. A lot of people hate on it, but it's kind of fun in a weird way. It feels like it's from that age of gaming where it was just so unscripted. You know, anything could happen. Like, you could run all over the map in your little vehicles and just run people over. And
how many people in the co-op?
Up to 5 people in the party.
Yeah, it's got several modes. Yeah, I mean, it's for a game where you play as either well, you can't play as the dinosaurs in this one, can you?
No.
That was another one, Primal Carnage, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Which I played a little bit too, and I kind of like that one, but honestly, I think Orion Dino Horde is better.
I think this is one of those games, like, if you and a buddy are, like, trying to figure out what kind of game, what game to play, this game, well, you will spend a couple hours and not even realize it because you'll be playing this game and you know, shooting dinosaurs with high-tech lasers is just, there's something visceral about that. So
it's pretty good. I'd give it an 82.
Way higher than a 36 or a 37 or whatever, right?
Callback.
I actually wouldn't give it an 82, but I will say it's not as bad as a lot of other people will be saying it is. All right, so what else we got? Something about Mass Effect 4.
The only thing is that it's coming out. And originally they had said that 3 was going to be the last in the series, I believe.
And it felt like the last in the series.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm ready for a Mass Effect 4. I don't know if I want that.
I haven't played
prequel, maybe? Like, cause
yeah, possibly prequel.
Where the story
or maybe pretty a much sideline. Ended. Is it gonna, well, do we know anything about it? Is it going to have Jack Shepard as the main character?
So I don't know the end of 3, so don't spoil it for me. I just bought it for $5 off of Origin. I don't know. There's literally no information about it except for at E3, they're going to give us a release date. That's all I know.
Hmm.
So I just wanted to put
it out
there.
And the release date never stays the same. So they're going to give us about around where it's going to...
Is EA pretty good about releases? I feel that they are. They're one of the powerhouses, right? But yeah. I don't know. I don't keep track of the EA games very well.
Well, they're the publisher. Who's the developer?
Probably DICE, right?
BioWare.
It's BioWare. You're right.
BioWare
yeah.
game, right?
Oh. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say they're usually on schedule, but who knows?
You don't want them to be on schedule, because the way software development works is always runs long, because the feature creep that goes on while you're developing a game is very productive to a certain level. So if you end up sticking to a schedule that's been determined by marketing, which is how, if we're getting a release date at this point, it's been determined by marketing. If they stick to that schedule, you'll get a game that is not very good. And you've seen that in, like, you know, maybe Assassin's Creed or some of these console launches that go on. What you want them to do is follow the Blizzard method, where they don't give you release dates. They just release the game when it's ready.
I think we all agree on that.
Valve does a similar thing. Like Half-Life, we still are waiting on that, right?
I'm to the point where I don't think it's going to happen. It's kind of become a joke. No, they're really busy with, like, other projects. There's not a whole lot of
them. And why do they need to do anything? They're making so much money on Steam.
Might be vaporware by this point. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, Half-Life 3, let's not even bring that up. I mean, that could... Duke Nukem Forever finally came out.
Yeah,
but...
so there... I mean, there is an end to the tunnel.
That's what... one more thing I want to say about Wolfenstein, because I love it so much. It's what Duke Nukem should have been. You know, when you rehash something that's so sacred to so many people.
Yeah. Well, we're back on Wolfenstein, I guess. What makes me excited about this game being so good, Doom 4 is coming out soon. That will be using, again, the id Tech 5 engine. By pre-ordering Wolfenstein I got into the Doom 4 beta, so I'll be playing that early, and I'm really excited for that. I'm sure a sequel will come out for the New Order, but Doom 4 might be the next project that they're doing.
I'm not going to play it.
No?
I 3 was too scary for me.
Yeah, 3 was scary, but I've been meaning to replay 3 for so long, but 4 has got to be great.
Wait for the Oculus, man, because it's one of the first games to be...
Yeah, you can't play Doom 3 on your TV, but you're going to play Oculus.
Not me, him. He's the brave white knight, dude. I'm just going to put him
Don't they
up
have there. A game...
Tell me about it, dude.
Don't they have a game where... Were you telling me this? Where they have a game where you're basically sitting there and you hear noises behind you? It's basically just designed to scare you?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What is it?
Don't move your hands.
Don't move your hands.
Yeah, you have to keep your hands on the keyboard.
And it's really, you know... low.
A spider comes down.
Yeah, it's just a...
You look to your left, there's a dinosaur looking at you.
Yeah, it's a demo. It's a... Basically, it's just a mini game that they put out there. But, you know, cool ideas.
E3 is coming up next week. So there's going to be a lot of news coming out this week. So
we're going to have to have it like 2 in 1 week or something. There's going to be a lot of news.
We, us gamers need to be paying attention this week because this is the week where a lot of announcements are being made. So,
or don't. We will and tell you about it.
Yeah.
We are will you definitely, going?
No, I'm not going this year.
Fuck.
Yeah, E3 is happening. I believe Computex is happening soon. That's more on the hardware side. Speaking of hardware, quick update on our upgrades. Apparently, the processor that I was waiting on, the i7-4790K, the K means you can overclock it. That's the one I've been waiting on all this time. It doesn't come out until June 25th. I pre-ordered it, so that will be the day that I finally get it, and then I can order my motherboard, memory, and then I get
showered by hand-me-downs.
Yep, and then the upgrades happen. So it's going to be a little later, but it is in the mix, and I cannot wait. God, it's been too long.
You got to tell people the specs when you get it all made out.
Oh, it'll be on there. My current specs for my computer are on my Steam profile page. You can check that out there. I've got a pretty nice rig as it is right now, and you can see my 3D Mark score. And before we upgrade Emilio's rig, we'll have to run 3D Mark on his computer and see where it stands, and then on the new computer and see.
Will he be able to
run 3D Mark?
3D Mark? Or
it's
well,
actually not that bad. I don't complain too much.
Well, they have several versions of it that you can run. One for like high-end extreme PCs, one for like high... Well, one for extreme, one for high-end, and then I think Emilio's. Two others.
Yeah. So I found it interesting that Loadout made a big deal that they were coming to the PS4 as an exclusive. And I found that interesting because it's not very often that PC games get ported to consoles as like something like, hey, come check this out. Something that you would announce, you know, like an E3 announcement. Most of the time it works the other way around where something does really well on the console and they do a shitty port over the PC. I just think it's kind of nice, you know. It's a good game. They did well. But it's funny, like PS4 exclusive. So, you know, they...
I think it'll do really well on a console.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is a great game for a console.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we all lost interest, but it's a good game.
Yeah. I think I'm just so turned off by the whole free-to-play thing now. Like, anytime I see free-to-play, I just... Like, I know what it's going to involve. It's going to either require a lot of my time or some of my money, you know, XP boosts, grinding for gear. Just free-to-play is just... really wearing on me lately. But Loadout recently had an update, 4.0 update. They now have private matches. They got a new map called the Comm Tower. They did some balancing, too, with weapons.
Maybe we should go revisit it. I might still have it.
It would be worth revisiting. I did have a lot of fun with that game for a while.
I think right now, like, if you're really looking for a deathmatch first-person shooter, or third-person? Is it third-person?
Third-person, yeah.
Yeah.
It feels like a first-person. Yeah.
If you're looking for that style game, like, Loadout is the one to go with right now. I can't think of one that would...
Yeah.
Like, a deathmatch style game, like, Loadout is the way to go right now, I think.
It's just pure fun.
Yeah, the biggest problem I had with it was, when it first came out, everybody was on the same level. We were killing each other, matches were even, a lot of fun. After a while, some people that got XP boosts really rose above the ranks.
It's pay to win. It really is.
Yeah, it was pay to win, and it really started to show a little bit later after release, and it just stopped being fun for me at that point.
I think when you're trying to figure out the weapons and everything like that, I think that was a lot of fun for me.
Yeah.
But once you kind of got the weapons figured out, then it kind of lost its appeal because now you're just playing a normal third-person shooter, you know?
Right.
Yeah, and you're trying to grind to get to that next...
Yeah. But grinding is... you know, frustrating because you're getting guys who had already grinded.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the problem with that is you get to a point where you're playing because you want to get that next unlock, and you're not playing because you're having fun. And that's a point that I reach with these free-to-play games. Even with Infinite Crisis that I was really into for a while, it stopped being fun, and I started playing it just so I could get more credits to unlock a new god. Yeah. That recently had an update, too, with some balancing and some new skins.
Cool. Another thing, just because we were talking about consoles and stuff, the Xbox One controller now has PC drivers. So it's supposed to be a much better controller than the Xbox controller. It has a bunch of force feedback and a bunch of sensitivity stuff. It's a better D-pad, which is probably the worst part of the old one. And since this is the go-to controller for PC gamers, the Xbox controller, you know, if you haven't bought one yet, buy the Xbox One one. I'm sure it's going to cost a little more. But.
So, I've never bought a controller for my PC, but you guys are both in agreement that the best PC controller to buy is an Xbox controller?
I wouldn't even say it's
They're not a PC controller?
Yeah, I wouldn't say... Well, it is a PC controller now.
Yeah, it works
Xbox with PCs. Controller is a PC.
And but what I'm saying is there are PC controllers
it's,
that
if
that,
you,
that
on the made. Box it says Xbox controller for PC. That's what it, like it's made for the PC.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So most games are already set up for that, and none of them are set up for the PS4 controller.
Yeah. Like,
that I've seen. You have to do it outside.
Yeah. Same with a lot of other controllers by Logitech or other companies. But it comes down to plug and play.
Yeah.
It is amazing to me because I spent so many years with a PC controller having to map keys, loading up a game, up, down, left, right, ABC. Doing that is such a hassle. To be able to plug a controller in and just have it work automatically and all the keys are already mapped, that is amazing. And that's the only reason you want to get an Xbox controller.
Personally, I think the PS4 controller is better, but since it's plug and play, that's all it comes down to.
Yeah, I'm not sure I could get used to this A, B, X, Y. Like, I wouldn't even know where X is on on the controller, you know?
It's tough. You know, I'm really glad. I forgot to bring this up completely. I've been playing Injustice because I picked it up for $750. And it's not like I'm going to learn how to be
good at
it.
Did you like it, by the way?
Well, let me get into it.
Nah.
In the middle of it. So, I like it. But there's no way that I was going to like, okay, I'm going to start playing this online and be competitive. I knew that I'm not in that whole realm. On the Street Fighter side, yeah, I'll play Street Fighter competitively and stuff. But I'm not going to put in the time to get good at this. Like, it's a whole new genre of game, of fighter, you know? And I'm not going to put in the time. But I heard that the single player is really cool. So I was like, for $750, I'll play the single player and see how it goes. And as far as a single-player fighting game, it's probably the best story.
Yeah, it's good.
Not just that it's a good story, but the working the fighting into the story just it's pretty awesome, you know?
Yeah.
It's funny that it makes you fight two guys at once, and somehow some guy gets incapacitated while you're fighting one every time. But besides that, and you're playing different characters. So you're not like Batman throughout the entire story like you would be in Street Fighter. Every chapter, you're playing a new dude. And then you just play it. And you know what? I'm having fun. And maybe 2 hours I put into it or something like that, or an hour. And if I get... I've already got my $750 worth. Like, it's really pretty. The voice acting's great. Just seeing all the ultimates or whatever you want to call them. Those are really cool. Aquaman's is fucking awesome. So it's just a good game. For $750, I think I got my money's worth.
Yeah. On a side note, so that's NetherRealm. Those are the guys that did Mortal Kombat.
Yep.
So they did Mortal Kombat, which was a reboot of the series, and it actually did really well. Then they did Injustice: Gods Among Us, which is the DC universe
with no fatalities. Pretty much the same thing with no fatalities.
That one's, is that straight DC or is that mixed with
DC only?
Okay.
As far as I could tell.
And then, so they just announced this week Mortal Kombat X, which is the next Mortal Kombat game.
And I think it's 10, right? Doesn't it mean 10?
Yeah.
It's probably their 10th iteration.
Yes, it is. But they're calling it Mortal Kombat X. And the announcement trailer was sweet. If you guys
got a lot of hype, but I also saw a lot of like negative press on it because it's like everything that we don't want out of a trailer. Like it's all pre-rendered graphics.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
they're going to show some stuff on E3, but it's been announced. So if you're into the fighting genre, you know, Street Fighter is kind of tailed off as they're going through the different stuff for Street Fighter 4. So this is kind of a different style of game. So if you haven't seen
the trailer, definitely check out the trailer. Like, I'm not trying to shit on it. It was just like, it's not representative of what's in
true.
The game.
True, true. And Injustice, I agree with you. Best story mode of any fighting game. Yeah. It's worth getting the game just to play the story mode. Even if you're not big into fighting games,
yeah.
The story mode, and if you're into DC Comics at all, you should pick up the game just to play the story mode. It's a lot of fun.
Sounds similar to Mortal Kombat, where you play a character,
yes.
And then in the story it switches and you play another character.
It's basically iterating on that Mortal Kombat concept.
See, I thought I'll play it. I picked that up too recently when Amazon was having their sale. But the Mortal Kombat one I thought was a little cheesy. Like, you'd play one character and you'd have some minor confrontation, and then next thing you know, like, you're fighting them, and then after that you team up with them for something else. Like, everything felt a little forced.
Yeah.
But I have heard Injustice praised by multiple people over the story, and that's something you don't usually see in fighting games. You don't see a very
it's
strong
probably the
story.
First one.
Yeah. Really? I mean, most fighting games...
You get two or three flames, and you're like, oh, that was cool or whatever. But
yeah, most fighting games don't know how to work a story in. It's like, okay, we're
it
fighting.
It would be hard, yeah. I think. And they did a good job here.
Yes, they did. Mm-hmm. Just a quick news announcement. Marvel Heroes, I don't know if you... Emilio, you played Marvel Heroes some. The isometric
MMO. The terrible one.
You played it for like...
One day.
20 hours straight.
Yeah.
They did their 2015. They did a year, so it's kind of like a reboot. They are showering gifts on you if you're playing. They upped the level cap is now at 60, I believe. So there was a lot of things going on this week about Marvel Heroes. So if you've played it at all, you might want to check it out again because they got a lot of stuff going on.
Have we heard anything about the Marvel MOBA, or is that completely gone? Or
last I heard, that it was canceled.
I was damn.
I know. I was really excited for that too.
Yep.
You know what I noticed the other day? I got an email. You guys remember the game Defiance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Came out. They had a show that went along with it. MMO. Apparently, that has gone free to play now. Which seems to happen to a lot of these MMOs.
A lot of these MMOs, yeah.
And they charge what they can. Now, I bought that on sale for like $5, and because I actually paid money for it, they gave me some boosts, XP boosts, and some various other things. But yeah, I guess that one is free to play now too. I did not think that game was that bad. I had some fun playing it, and if other people were playing that I knew, like I would hop on and get into that for a little bit.
Like, I'm big into MOBAs. I mean, MMOs. Like, mm-hmm. I'm playing WildStar now. I was big into WoW. You know, any MMO that comes out, I like to try out. I just could not get into that game. Like, I wanted to. I tried to watch the series. Like,
did we make?
Like two? Three? Yeah. Two or three?
I couldn't get into the story at all. It's more of a first-person MMO, a first-person shooter MMO,
yeah.
And not really a... How would you even classify like?
It was trying to mix genres, and I don't think it pulled any off successfully is the issue that I had with it.
I don't know. I thought it was pretty good. Tolerable. But it's hard for me to commit to an MMO these days.
Yeah, it's so hard. Because you know what it takes to be good at it.
I really appreciate a game that just shows up, does its thing, and leaves. Like Wolfenstein. Let's go back to
Wolfenstein. Just like his ladies.
But, you know, you got to like
but
that.
That's how I treat MMOs now. Like, MMOs are built now that single player is just as fun as multiplayer, basically, in MMOs. So I treat it like a single-player game.
But you're spending a lot more time.
I spend a couple hours a week. I jump in whenever I feel like it and jump out when I don't. Like, I think there's this perception based on EverQuest and WoW that you have to spend all this time in it. And you don't have to. You can just treat it like a fun game. Like, you go in and quest just like any other RPG.
Still scary.
Well, yeah, but you're going to get the experience you want out of it, but not the full experience.
But we shouldn't fault a game for having a larger scope than we are willing. Like Wolfenstein is a great game, but we don't fault it. I personally fault it that it doesn't have multiplayer to it. But if it... You know what I mean?
Well, there are other games that have
If it had multiplayer and you choose not to jump into it, you shouldn't fault it for not, you know.
I think what we're getting at here is, like, in 14 hours, you can get through everything Wolfenstein has to offer, or most of it. Let's say 95% of it, 90%. 9 hours in an MMO, you're only going to scratch the surface. So you're not getting what he's saying. You're not getting everything that they have to offer.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that's a good or a bad thing. I'm just saying that's what I appreciate more right now because I've got so many games and I've got limited time.
I'm the same way, There's so many games coming out that I can't,
So it's kind of like, you know, show me what you got. Let's do this. Great. Moving on. Next. You know, it's...
I know what you're saying. Like, especially if MMOs are costing you something a month, you got to invest that time to make your $14.99 a month worth it. So I understand what you're saying there. But, I think MMOs are what they are designed... You know, they have a large scope, and I appreciate that sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes I want that familiarity. It's like watching a show. You can go and watch that show every week and know the characters and know where you're going. Sometimes I like that, and I like playing the other games on and off. But I want that thread throughout my months, you know? Yeah. So, and that's what an MMO does for me.
Yeah, and they definitely have their place. I've had a lot of fun with a lot of MMOs.
Cool. So I had a buddy who just recently put together a monster rig, and he's just getting back into gaming. And he hasn't played anything since like EverQuest. Well, actually, he's been playing all the Secret World, but that's all he's ever played. So all he knows really is MMOs. But now he wants to like play some really good games, and he's really been out of the loop. And he really hasn't ever played a first-person shooter. And it's So he's like, you know, I always talk about all this stuff, and he listens to a couple of the podcasts. He's like, can you give me a list? So then I was like, I might as well bring up the list on the podcast and see what you guys think of it.
So this is a list of somebody
how to get into PC
getting game. Into game.
Yeah,
okay.
And he has a monster rig. But that doesn't... It's funny because he spent so much on the rig, but he's looking for the best deals as well, and that's important to him. So I started off with the orange box. I know it's really dated, but I still think the bang for your buck, you're getting probably some of the best ever. So TF2 is free anyway. But it used to be part of the thing because it used to be $20, right? You're getting Portal, which some people gave Game of the Year that year. And you're getting Half-Life 2 and all of its iterations or its subsequent episodes. And not only because these are all great games and they all are all 90 on the Metacritic, over 90, all of them. So, and you're getting all of them for $20. The other thing is, just to get your first-person dexterity down, Portal's a really good game because there's nothing chasing you. You get to practice aiming and stuff and just get, you know, getting your WASD.
It's more casual.
It's far more casual, slow-paced. You go at your own pace. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I was suggesting that. Then after that, these aren't in particular order, really, but I suggested... It's funny, once you start doing this list, you see how much are first-person shooters. Like, because that's the PC's bread and butter, really is. So, Bioshock 1, I know it's, again, super dated, but again, you're going to, this is a shooter.
Not really pushing that monster rig.
No. This is a shooter, but it's also introducing not just shooting. This is where you get special abilities, and you start tinkering with different, what do they call them in that game? Hacks. They were life hacks, basically. You get electricity and ice and stuff. So there's a bunch of...
What were those called?
Yeah.
you guys are the... I never actually played
Bioshock. They changed the name of it in Bioshock Infinite. What do they even call it in Infinite? It didn't even make sense having it in Infinite, but that kind of tied
into
the story.
My brain is going to tear in two right now, not knowing both of those.
Vigorous was Infinite.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other one was like... Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
We'll find out.
Yeah. So anyway, Bioshock 1... So you get used to different mechanics in first-person shooters.
Plasmids.
Plasmids. That's what it was, yep. And then after that, Bioshock Infinite. And that'll not push his rig, but, you know, it's a really nice-looking game. As far as RPGs, Mass Effect series, I think, is a must-play, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Mass Effect 3 and 2, both amazing.
Yep. Half-Life 2, obviously, is that's part of the thing. Borderlands 2, you can get it for $5. I mean, it was a perfect mix of the random nature of the drops from Diablo, but in a first-person shooter. And the comedy there from Handsome Jack was awesome. And it's just a great game. I'm just listing really good games here. Fallout 3, Skyrim, those are my two favorite games of all time, so I gotta put them on here. And then Plants vs. Zombies, because it's just the best fucking puzzler ever, I think.
I can't stand Plants vs. Zombies, but that's another
Have
time.
You ever played more than 5 minutes of it?
Yeah, I played for like 3 hours. I hated it. Every minute of that. The other game that you already said Half-Life 2, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Oh, that's part of the orange box.
Yeah.
For someone newly into PC gaming, though, I have trouble recommending some of these classics because I don't think people are really going to appreciate that too much if the game's a little dated, or if there's, in the case of BioShock and BioShock Infinite, if you tell someone, oh, you got to play BioShock first and then go to Infinite.
I definitely asked him that, too. I was like, do you want to go straight top shelf or do you want to know? And he said that, you know, if it's a classic, he would like to play the first one first. And I was like, I kept going exactly that. I was like, these are pretty fucking dated to the, you know, we're talking about 7 years ago, which in PC games.
It's nice to have the backstory, but we're not talking about a movie or a prequel. We're talking about 8 to 10, 12 hours of gameplay that you're going to have to sit through. That's a lot to ask.
It's funny, I'm rattling these things off like they're no big deal, but, you know, the Mass Effect trilogy, if you want to play through that, you're talking, what, 100 hours? Probably?
Yeah, something like that.
You can do
it. But worth it.
And we say like, oh, geez, backbreaking 100 hours. Yeah. It's really good, rewarding. Although I just bought 3. Probably going to get into it next week.
Yeah. You'll love it. Mass Effect 3 is awesome.
You know what game I would suggest? And I suggest this. This is one of my favorite games of all time. It's new. It's fun. It looks great on a monster rig. Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon.
Can you buy it standalone?
Yeah, it is a standalone.
That's right.
I mean, this game I personally like a lot because it's got the three things that I love in a video game: Tropical Island, 80s, sci-fi. It's got the trifecta. It's got all three of
them.
If
it had co-op,
you'd
need a new keyboard or something.
I'm a little surprised you didn't recommend XCOM Enemy Within.
You know, I looked at that because that was a genre that I didn't have on my list. And at that point, I was like, man, this list is pretty fucking heavy duty. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I should have put it on there.
I mean, XCOM is a great game. You can probably get it for a really good price.
Did you play it?
Yeah, I played a little bit of it, just like an hour. And because my favorite game of all time is the original XCOM.
Right.
And XCOM Enemy Within is basically just a remake of that game. So
Enemy Unknown.
Enemy Unknown?
Yeah, Enemy Within is the new expansion pack.
Oh, okay.
A standalone, correct? I believe. I don't know.
I think it is a standalone.
And they're already talking about...
It gets real fuzzy.
Yeah. There's another expansion to that now that they're going to announce.
Yeah, it's getting muddled. Yeah.
Well, XCOM is just an amazing series.
You should really play that. It was good, man.
No, I plan to. It's on my list.
And
of,
be careful in your
need to play,
early on choices. If you invest into the wrong things, it might fuck up your whole playthrough, and they don't really explain any of that. So,
and I'm surprised you didn't recommend the 99-cent Binding of Isaac.
I know, I totally should have. I've been saying it's the best 99-cent. I did, because I did verbally. This was just last night. I didn't really piece this together very well.
No, but I agree with most of that list.
No,
I was surprised you didn't say Skyrim 47 times on that list. But
you know. He had Skyrim already, but then he started like. Okay, I won't get into it, but he's like, man, there's so many mods, and you could be Iron Man if you want. And he's like,
please don't get into this.
And I showed him like what you can do Skyrim with his monster rig, and he's like, oh, okay, where do I get this? I want this right now. I was like, you're talking about 55 mods to get it to look like that, and you're talking about 4 hours of work probably modding. So it's not something you could just jump into.
Wow.
So is that the week? I stuck in Skyrim at the end, baby!
Yeah, you did. Drink if you haven't.
All right. So, let's wrap this up, man. That's going to be about it. Again, DL Gaming Steam Group. Check us out there. Website is dlgaming.net. You know, our Steam Group seems to be the hub of activity. If you really want to get a hold of us, you know, that's the place to go. Check out the weekly giveaway. Friend us on Steam. Hit us up if you want to play some games.
I mean, one guy, he put some questions up there, and he got a custom podcast, basically. So if you ask something, we'll probably talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we like playing with you guys, so hit us up, and we'll play with you.
And all of that is, exactly. The Steam group itself, obviously you're going to see us jump in and out, what we're playing, talk about what we're playing, what we're going to talk about next week. It's all right there. That's a centralized thing.
Yep.
So thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Titties.